this is Naeem, and you've reached the Mosaic Church podcast. So excited that you're part of our listening community, and I'd love for you to be even more connected. So check out our website. There's more content there, and there's more opportunities for you to get connected in our ministries and events as well. Also, love for you to share this content. If this is blessed to you, I know that God wants to use you to bless other people with it. So share this podcast, if you will. Lastly, would you consider supporting this ministry? This is made possible by other people's generosity, and I'd love for you to pay it forward. Join us to reclaim the message and the movement of Jesus together. So would you consider giving to this ministry? I know that God is able to do immeasurably more through us when we come together. Thank you so much. God bless you and enjoy.
Hello, hello. Yes, welcome and good morning. We're going to have some fun. We're going to have some fun this Christmas, this December season. It's going to be fun. It's going to be a great series. In fact, we've got all kinds of crazy videos to show. So it's definitely a series to invite some people to, get them exposed to, like, you know, what church could be. So definitely check it out. Also, we're going to talking about our Christmas offering as well, which we do every year. I'll get to that a little bit later. But today, I want to talk about the idea of where we end up in our lives when it comes to, like, almost the end of the year. I don't know about you, but I feel like sometimes I just want to quit. You know what I'm saying? I need a break. I need a break. And this Christmas, I can't wait for Christmas to get here. It's not that I want it to be early. I just want it to last. Make sense? I want to last because I think all of us, or most of us, are like, you know, with the end of the year, you're like, I just need a break. Anybody want a break? Yeah. Anybody want a Kit Kat? Yeah. Get it? No? Okay. All right. So what do we do, though? What do we do when it's not just the end of the year, when it's just life and we hit a season in certain areas of our life, we look around and we think, you know what, I'm just not fulfilled. Honestly, I'm not fulfilled, and I feel like I want to quit. Have you ever been there? Have you ever wanted to quit? Anybody wanted to quit parenting? Anybody? Let's just be honest here. Okay, can we do that? Yeah. Can we just, no, we can't do that. Can't do that, right? There's so many things in our life that we want to quit, but we shouldn't. The things in our life we should quit, destructive behavior, toxic relationships, thoughts and ideas. We need to, but we don't. We don't do that. So what do we do? How do we figure this out? In fact, how do we figure out when you get to a place, and maybe some of you are there, a place where you're like, I don't know if I really should quit this. I really feel like I need to quit. And you don't know because it's not good or bad. It's just like, you're just unfulfilled. I mean, honestly, like, this is not, this can't be everything there is, like, in my career. This can't be everything this is in my relationships. This can't be everything it is in my spirituality. Maybe I just want to quit. And things get hard sometimes, and you're like, I just want to quit. So what I want to do is I want to talk to us about the idea of whether or not you should quit the thing that you're thinking about right now. Now, I can't know what it is. Might be a couple of things. But what we want to do is we want to figure out, what does the scriptures tell us about that? What does the scriptures tell us about that, if anything? I was in Phoenix, Arizona this past Sunday. Last Sunday, I was speaking at a church called City of Grace. And City of Grace was an interesting church because a couple of years ago, it was called Hillsong Phoenix. Hillsong Phoenix. Now, if you know of the word Hillsong, you know everything about Hillsong. You know it's like, it was a Christian band, then became a church, then it became a brand. In fact, it was so influential in the life of the Christian life that so many songs that we sing, even the songs we sang today, some of them are Hillsong songs. I mean, this was a big deal. They had campuses, not just locally, they had campuses globally. In fact, Ben, who's one of our worship leaders, was part of Hillsong Australia. And now he's here. Yay. Okay. Now, so what's interesting, though, about that is that I was sitting with this guy, and I had just preached the messages for him, and we were sitting there at lunch, and we were talking about Hillsong, but if you don't know, it went down bad. It went bad. The Netflix did a special on them, and when Netflix does a special on you, it's always really bad or really good. It's either one. If you're mediocre, they're like, we don't want, you get no special. But you get prime time, and there was all kinds of scandal, all kinds of things. And it was so sad more than all the other things. It was just heartbreaking. And then it collapsed. Everything, the whole brand, everything, the whole large global organization just went down. And this guy was in the middle of it, middle of it. He was the one of the largest Hillsong gatherings or churches in the U.S. for Australia. I mean, it was big. It was massive. And now we're sitting there, and he was telling stories. And then I just stopped him, and I said, hey, why didn't you just quit? Like, why are you still here? And he's older than me. Like, you know what I'm saying? He's almost retirement age or whatever, but or not. I don't know. He's just older than me. I just feel like I want to retire right now. Anyways, but he's like, I'm like, why did you quit? Why didn't you quit? Why didn't you quit? I mean, it's devastating. It was so devastating, the stories. I mean, you think you have church hurt, or people you know have church hurt. Pastors have serious church hurt. Serious. It's tough. I said, why don't you quit? And he looked at me. I mean, I asked him the question, and he just looked at me, and he said, look me in the eyes, and he said, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Now, if you're not a Christian, or if you don't know scripture, you're like, what, did he say that to you? Yes, I know what he meant. It's actually scripture. He's not talking about me. He's quoting Peter, because it was a response. It was a response. Okay, and if you're like, do pastors always do that? Yes, we do, actually. We don't have real language. We just go quote back and forth scripture. Just that's it. That's it. Actually, you know what? That would be a fun game, wouldn't it? You can only, okay, scripture after scripture. You have to, some of you guys would lose so bad. Because you guys know two. You know two scriptures. Jesus wept, and then for God so loved something. But something happened. Yeah, yeah. So he looks at me, he says it, and I get exactly what he's saying. I get exactly what he's saying. Let me give you the context, okay? It's found in John 6. In John 6, Jesus said some things to his disciples, to his followers. They've seen some things happen, and here's what happens. It says, after this, after whatever happened, many of his disciples did what? They left, they quit. They quit. Now, you might think, oh, no way Jesus would get canceled. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. He experienced being unfollowed. Yes, all the things. Okay? Followers and then physically just stopped following him. And then it was so intense that they no longer wanted to be associated with him, it says. And then Jesus looked at the 12 he had, and he gave them a choice, basically. It says here, in this translation, he says, do you also want to what? Do you also want to leave? Do you also want to leave? Like, I wouldn't blame you if you wanted to quit right now. Do you want to leave? And then Peter says what this pastor, Terry, said. He said, Master, to whom would we go? You have the what? Words of life. You have eternal life. I mean, that's it. And we're committed to ourselves, confident that you are the one, the Holy One of God. He's like, we're locked in. We're locked in full on. And we know that you were supposed to be here. And as we were swapping stories, he asked me, he's like, why didn't you quit? Because as we were talking about the pandemic and coming out of the pandemic and all of the people who left and said some things, and it was just hurtful and relationships being torn and, oh my gosh, and staff issues and all that. He was like, why didn't you quit? And I was like, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. I did not say that. I was like, bro, I so wanted to. I don't want to quietly quit. They're like, so wanted to, but I knew I couldn't. It would be full on disobedient for me. I knew that if I was quitting, I would be quitting on the direction of where God wanted me to go in. I knew that. I'm not going to do this pastoring forever. I mean, it's not a forever thing. I don't think so. I mean, we all have seasons, but I'm not quitting anytime soon. No, it's not happening. It's not happening. And so the verse that I want to show you is the next verse I want to show you is connected to the idea of you wondering and figuring out if you should quit the thing you need to quit. You see, I mean, maybe it's not disobedience for you. You know, maybe it's for you. It's like, I don't know, but maybe there's something else out there. Did you know that in the month of December, it's the most popular or it's the best month to quit your job? That's what the stats say. The worst time to quit your job is the summer. The best time to quit is December. And people might be thinking that. You might be thinking that. In fact, you're listening or you're sitting here going, I can't believe he's talking about this, because right now there's some things I'm praying about. Should I quit or should I not? So you, Let me give you kind of a, let me give you kind of a frame of mind, an idea where I believe that you need to use to navigate decision making. It's found in John as well. And this is Jesus talking about this a relationship that he wants to have with his disciples. And he says this to them. He says, live in me and I, what, will live in you. A branch cannot produce any fruit by itself. It has to stay attached to the vine. It has to stay attached. And he says, in the same way, you can't produce fruit unless you are, if you live in me, unless you're connected to me. Then he goes on and he says, I, in fact, am the vine. Like, I'm the source, and you are the branches. You're not the vine. You are the branches. And those who live in me while I live in them will produce a lot of fruit. And Jesus is using this illustration to explain a relationship. He's like, listen, I'm the source, and I want you to come out of me. And my goal is not that I would bear fruit, that you would bear fruit, that I want your life to be fulfilling. I want you to have fruit. I want you to have a life that's fully satisfying. I want you to have a career, job. I want you to have relationships that are fully satisfying to you. I want you to have fruit. He says, but you can't. But those who live in me and while I live in them will produce a lot of fruit, but you can't produce anything without me. So if you detach yourself, you're not going to produce anything. Now, which obviously in face value, we know it's not necessarily true. You can do a lot of things. There's a lot of people who are highly successful and they're not followers of Jesus at all. They're not, they're atheists or whatever else. They're not. What is he saying here? What he's talking about, which I believe is a symbiotic relationship. You know, there's as I read this passage of the vine and the scriptures, I'm sorry, the branches and the fruit, I just began thinking about our relationship and my relationship with God. Sometimes my relationship with God, I just want synergy from him. You know what synergy is? Synergy is two people working together in a particular direction. I just want God to bless what I do and move forward. Like, I just want some synergy. Come push with me, Jesus. We're going this direction. Come bless me. Come do this. Come do this. Come do this. Listen, if you and I were connected, let's do this. Let's do this. And sometimes we think the opposite. Life is just basically a synergistic relationship between me and God where I just have to do whatever he wants or is doing, and that's all I do. I don't have any say-so. I just live the life. I just do what he wants me to do. And all he wants me to do is do whatever the church wants, and that's all, that's it. And then it's, well, again, pushing in the same direction, and we create this energy and synergy, and things happen. But see, what he's describing here is not that at all, isn't it? It's branches. It's wine. It's organic. There's fruit involved. Like there's a growth process. It seems like he's talking about a symbiotic relationship. He said, if I live in you and you live in me, if we do that, there's going to be something that's going to take place that would not exist. Would not exist if you and I were not meshed together. I think for some of us, what that practically means is that as we make decisions, do you know that you are forever connected to God? Even if your relationship with God is not that tight right now, you are connected to him. You are part of the vine. And your life needs to bear fruit. But the problem is you are trying to detach yourself from it and do your own thing. Work your own hustle, make it happen. But he's saying there's a symbiotic relationship in which we're two different organisms work together to create something. You're very different from me. I'm very different from you, God says. But if we work together, you can do something that you can never experience together. It's a deeper than just success. It's fulfillment in life. So I wonder if you need to, or if I need to go, God, what do you say about this? What do you think about this? My marriage, what do you think about this job situation? What do you think about this? Should I quit or what should I do right now? See, I think the options are clear. I think you either quit, or you get fully engaged, fully locked in. My daughter loves using that phrase, lock in. Lock in, Dad, lock in. When she's trying to get my attention, she says, lock in, lock in. What she means is, I'm doing this all the time. She's like, lock in, lock in. Or she'll use phrases like, okay, you know what? She's in the conversation. She's like, you know what? I gotta lock in. I gotta lock in and do my homework. I gotta lock in. And she goes, I gotta locked in. She's locked in. She's locked in. It means that she's fully just has one intention. It's she's giving it all. She's doing this, all my attention to this thing, all my energy towards this particular thing I need to do. I wonder if our fulfillment is connected not in the right opportunities that we just haven't found. Is it connected to the opportunities that we've just quit on prematurely? Is it connected to the relationships that we quit on prematurely? If we just quit on some things prematurely and we're wondering why God is saying, this didn't work out, this relationship didn't work out, that opportunity didn't work out, and God's like, you just quit before I got started. You quit before I got started. So I don't know what to do here. I had an interesting lunch with a guy this week. He's a rabbi in Charlotte. In fact, he leads one of the largest congregations of Reformed rabbis in the city. They have the Jewish community has 65 acres of land off of Providence Road, and there are three congregations that meet there. There are three temples. There's an Orthodox Jewish community. There is a conservative, and he's a Reformed. And so they are massive, they're huge, they work together, but that is their Jewish community. And so it's ironic, right? So he wants to have lunch with me, and I'm like, okay, this is going to be good, because we know some people that mutual friends that were trying to create something new in Charlotte. And part of it is trying to get like pastors and you know, rabbis and imams, which are Muslim pastors, together in a room, which is tough to do. And so anyways, we sat down. And it's so interesting, so fascinating. His name is Rabbi Asher Knight. My son's name is Asher. So he was like, do you know what it means? I'm like, yes, I do. Yes, I do. Okay, because it's not just Jewish. It's also Arabic. It's also Urdu. And so we were talking about that, and it was so fascinating. And so we began talking about just people. How do we love people? How do we serve people? And he said something that was so interesting to me. He said, you know, because he was going to perform a ceremony for someone, and I said, so they're part of your congregation. They're like, no, they're not. I said, yeah, but we just do it. And then he said this. He said, most Jewish people, or not most, but some Jewish people, they quit on their faith. They don't quit their community. They quit on believing. They don't believe anymore. He's like, my dad's an atheist. Full-on atheist, hardcore. He's like, he's an aggressive atheist. And I was like, okay, I don't even know what that means. Let's talk about that later, you know? But he's like, yeah, they just quit. They quit believing. They're still part of the community. They're still part of the Jewish community. They're still part of the temple. I said, that's interesting. I said, I have the reverse problem. I said, in Christianity, people don't quit their faith. They just quit their community. They just go from one. And I said, so how many options do Jewish people have to worship and be in a community? He was like, maybe seven, if you count everybody. And I said, you know how many we have? 7,000. Like, we have a lot. And he was like, that'd be hard. I'm like, that is so hard. I was like, you have it easy, buddy. Okay? He was like, if they don't like what I say, they're going to go to the church next door and tell their friends about it. Don't even tell their friends about it. They'll just post it. Yeah. You know the amount of Christian people who've said, I used to follow you on Instagram. I don't anymore. I'm like, you want an award for that? What do you want? Why are you even telling me this? Do you even know Jesus? Okay. Like, why would you say that, first of all? Why would you say that? Don't ever say that, by the way. Mosaic, don't ever say that. I used to follow you. I don't anymore. What the? Anyways. So as I was complaining about this, I was like, okay, so that's interesting. I said, yeah, that's what happens. He said, what do you mean? I was like, well, that's the problem. The problem is that people have options. I wonder if because we're part of the solution, we're also part of the problem. As we are, as followers of Jesus, as part of a larger global Christian community, have we taught ourselves to just quit prematurely? Because just we have options. Is it true about what was back in the day when we hear something, after this, we stop following him. After this, we stop being a part of community. Do you know the amount of lost Christians there are? Not lost people, because I think followers of Jesus or Christians like to talk about lost people. I think there are more lost Christians out there than lost people. Let me explain. You see, what happens is that I've seen this all the time. I talk to people and they're like, you know what, we're not going to Mosaic anymore. And then I'm like, okay. And then I lose touch with them. And I'm hoping they find another place. And then I run into them. I run into them because we live in the same town. And I go, hey, have you found a place? And the reason why I'm asking this is not because I just want them to find a place. And they go, no, we haven't found a place. And then I think, oh my gosh, it's been 5 years. It's been 3 years. Like, where have you been? And they seem like some people have actually said, I just feel lost. I just feel lost. We just don't know. We're kind of shopping around, but we just don't know. And I hate saying the word shopping, but we're shopping around. I just don't know. Have you noticed that only a person who has a sense of destiny or destination feels lost? If you don't have a sense of destiny, a place you know you're supposed to be. If you don't have a sense of destination, you never feel lost. You're just traveling. It's all adventure. But there's so many Christians out there that seem to lost because there is a destination, there's a reality, there's a community, there's relationships that they know they need to be a part of because it's in them somehow, and they're not there yet. They're not there yet. And they're just kind of walking around trying to figure it out. You know, there's a lot of one-liner quotes in the scriptures, right? The one that I start off with, the whole idea of like, you know, where should we go? You have the words of eternal life. There's one-liners. There's another one-liner, and if you're familiar with the scriptures, you'll know it. It's this line that says, "Are you the one? Are you the one?" Or should we look for another or someone else? Are you the one, or should we look for someone else? That's John's words, John the Baptist, who was stuck in prison, trying to figure out why Jesus could not save him or would not save him, and sent word to him and said, hey, are you the one? Because if you're the one, I should not be in jail. If you're the one, I should not be scheduled to get beheaded. If you're the one, I'm not going to die in prison. If you're the one, if you're the one, if you're the one. And then he says, if you're the one, then, or is it I made a mistake, or should I look for another? Should I keep on going? And I wonder if that happens to us all the time. In fact, I believe it does. We hit a space in our job, our marriage, or whatever, and then we go, was this the one? Was this the one? Or you go, is this the one? I mean, we do this with buying anything, right? Should I get this? I don't know. Is this the one? Hun, is this the one? Should we do this? Is this the one? Or should we what? Keep on looking. You know, praise God for Amazon, right? You just keep on looking. Right? They go like, you might be interested in this. Okay, thank you. Thank you. If God was just like Amazon, right? Please tell me what I want and then deliver it. Okay? No shipping. Hello. Plus, you can return that. Yes, but he's not. He's not. So let me ask you this. Is Mosaic the one? Thank you. I love you. Because if it's not, then maybe you should keep on looking. Just keep on looking. And prayers go with you to find the one. But if Mosaic is the one, then as my daughter says, you need to lock in. Or are you just keep on, if you're just looking, you're going to just keep on looking. I think at some point we got to go, okay, am I going to lock in? Am I going to, if this, is this job the one? Is this the one? If this is the one, which you're like, I don't know. The best way to figure it out and find out is to get fully engaged in whatever it is. Is this the marriage? Is this the one? Is this the person the one? Well, let's see if you can fully invest in this person, in this job, in this opportunity. Is this the one? There's a passage of scripture And if you don't, if you're not aware of the Bible, there's Old Testament, but the New Testament starts off with just the things that Jesus did. And then there's a whole book of Acts, it's called. And that book is all about the things that the church did. And so the church started forming and the movement started moving after Jesus. So Jesus dies on the cross, resurrected, then leaves again. And then they've got this opportunity to do something. And it gets hard. It gets extremely hard. So much persecution. And guess what? Their main guy, Jesus, is gone. So what do they do? So here in the book of Acts, in a particular chapter, chapter 2, it gives us a description of what they did. Here's what they did. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship. Basically, they had devoted themselves, they fully locked on, fully engaged in the teachings of what they did, of the apostles, the teachings of the apostles. The apostles were people who walked literally with Jesus. And this is what they wrote down and said, this is what Jesus did. If you weren't there, we were there. Here's. So they began to be framed and reframed by the teachings of Jesus. And then they committed themselves to, what's that word? Fellowship, right? You guys know what fellowship means? Fellowship, the word got really famous because of the Fellowship of the Rings. But this is a different kind. This is a different kind of fellowship, my friends, okay? But their fellowship was this. It was to the breaking of what? Bread and to prayer. They committed themselves to that. It says here that everyone was in awe. They were in awe at the wonders and the signs performed by the apostles. That there was a sense of like just togetherness. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Now, let me explain. That doesn't mean everybody was like everybody else. No, that's not true at all. What he means by that is this is what they did. They took their things, their stuff, and they thought this is for common. This is communal. My stuff is communal, which is very different. It's very different. This is, hey, we're getting this appetizer for the table. What does an appetizer mean for the table? It means it's what? It's for share. Okay, some of you guys are like, that's why I don't get them. I get my own stuff. I get my own appetizer. Appetize me, you know what I'm saying? No, that's it. Okay, well, that's another message for you. Okay, here's what they did. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had a need. That's the communal effort. Every day they continue to meet together. They're committed to being with one another in temple courts. And then what do they do at home? They broke bread. They broke bread, like as in they had meals in their homes. They ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God. I mean, there was a sense. You see what's happening. You're enjoying the favor of other people, and God was doing amazing things and added to their number daily who were being saved. There's a picture of what they did. They fully locked on. They were like, okay, this is so hard now because Jesus is gone. We want to quit because it seems like Jesus is gone. Like he quit or whatever. Like he quit humanity. So we're leaving. You know, we should stop this as well. But they locked on. Why? Because Jesus had told them to do this. So let me ask you, like, could it be that the fulfillment in your marriage, the fulfillment in your job, the fulfillment in your personal life, your actual life, your actual self, is not because you don't have the right opportunities, it's because you have quit prematurely on the things that are the most important. You quit doing the things. You quit the habits, the healthy habits. You just quit. We quit. And I don't blame you for quitting because I have too. I've quit things I should not have quit. Man, because it just gets so what? Hard to keep on going. And I get that. And things being hard, things being sad, things being just painstaking, slow, things being frustrating, things not moving forward at the speed that we want them to be, the career that's not seeming to take off, like all those things, it's not worth quitting them, thinking that I just need to stop this, because maybe, just maybe, you haven't fully locked on, you haven't fully engaged, you haven't given everything to it, And so I have this burden for you guys to, and for those of you who are watching or listening, is to really ask yourselves, am I fully engaged before I quit? You know, engage is a really, it's kind of interesting because you're like, what does that even look like? Let me explain this, and I'll explain this in the context of our church. Because what I don't know if this is possible, but I would love for those of you who feel like you need to go somewhere else, please go, but just make sure you're not trying to find a church that caters to you. Make sure you go to a church that you can create together, that wants to create with you. I just don't want lost Christians because there's so many of them. So let me just help you a little bit, okay? So fully engaged at, and this you can apply this in different areas of your life. I'm gonna give you a Venn diagram, if you know what that is. The first circle, and that is to participate, okay? This idea of just participating in this. Now, how many of you, really quick, love or value, believe in wholeheartedly giving kids participation awards? Okay, serious, no, someone's scratching their head, like, no, I don't know. But we do, people, we do. It's important, you participated, that's awesome, that's cute, that's awesome, that's wonderful, okay, but no award for you. Like, I mean, you did a good job, but not good enough. I mean, I know it's tough to say, but it's like, but no one gets that. But here's the thing, we want to give ourselves awards for participation. We do. It's the funniest thing. We do. We're like, I showed up. Well, bless you. Bless you. You're amazing. You got up all by yourself. Wow. Amazing. Only adults can do that. You know, it's like, yeah, but okay, but we want to. I want to. I'm like, I showed up. But there's more than that. That's not, you're not gonna get fully satisfied because you just participate. That's why I'm making fun of it, is because you're like me, right? We want to be satisfied in life. You just showing up to work is not being fulfilled. That's just one. There's another one, and that is this idea of volunteering. This idea of volunteering your energy and time, deciding that you are going to do something to help create the situation. You're not just participating at work. You are now volunteering your ideas, your time, your energy towards creating something. That's a next level of being fully locked in, fully engaged. That's next. But it keeps on going. It keeps on going. Because some of us, you're like, okay, I got this. The next one is this idea of, next diagram is this idea of sharing. Sharing is like you're not just participating and all that. You're now excited about it. It's like you're excited about it because it's like it's so excited as you when you find a new show on Netflix. You know what I'm saying? Or whatever app you use. You're like, oh my goodness! And then you're an evangelist for that. You should watch this. Stop what you're doing. Stop that. Watch this. Some of you guys, you're documentary people. You're like, you should watch the documentary. No, I don't. You know why? Because it's going to change my life. That's what it is. It's going to change my life. It's going to expose what's really true, and I don't want to. You know what I'm saying? I love darkness. You know what I'm saying? It's like some of us are like, I don't want to know about how they really make, how we get chicken. I don't. No. I like my Chick-fil-A, and I do not. Please don't show me that. Don't show me that. We don't do that. But see, in church world, in church, if you just attend, at some point you're going to quit because it's going to be unfulfilling. If you just attend and volunteer, or if you just volunteer and don't attend, what some people do, you're like, what? Yeah, some people do. Some people in Mosaic do. They volunteer, they don't attend. They don't sit in a service, they don't watch. Strangest thing. But for a season, it's okay. But if you keep on going, it's not going to lead to fulfillment. Some, which was really funny, a friend of mine, he shares about Mosaic all the time. When I'm around him and there are other people, he's like, you guys should go to Mosaic. You know this guy was a pastor? This guy's a pastor, isn't he? He doesn't look like a pastor at all, doesn't he? I mean, what's your pastor? Does he look like a pastor? I'm like, what are you doing? Calm down. And then he was like, oh, you should go. And finally, in the middle of everybody, because I know him, I was like, you know what, bro? You should go to Mosaic. Like, you should try it. And he was like, ah, ha, 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 ha. And I was like, yeah. He was like, yeah, I haven't been coming for a while, but anyways, and, you know, it's just busy work and all that. I'm like, what? He shares all the time. Evangelist, but barely attends, does not volunteer. At some point, we're the flavor of the month, but now it's next month. And then there's another circle. And that, my friend, is support, financial support. Now you're locked in because you're doing, now you're giving to this cause. You're giving to this, whatever it is. You're giving. You're putting money towards it. It's like saying, I participate in my marriage. I have a volunteer to do the dishes. I do. You know what? I tell people they should get married. I'm not going to spend money on therapy. Oh. Okay. Well, all right. It's not fully locked in. Your bank account's got it. Your bank tells your checking account tells people exactly what you are locked in. It does. It really just does. It does. Because I'm saying this, it's hard stuff, because you and I want to be fulfilled, not entertained. We want to be fulfilled, satisfied in life. See, all this, well, the money is where they all meet. That spot right there, in the middle, right there. When you get there, you're fully engaged. You're fully engaged in the life of the church. You're fully engaged in all of these things. Fully engaged. So my question is, are we going to begin to do that? Are we going to live our lives like that? And if I could just make a commercial for being a part of a community, if you're watching and listening and you can make it to a gathering like this, you need to figure it out and get here. You need to be involved in the life of the church, because here's the thing, and you know this. The community you belong to shapes who you are becoming. If you stop and consider how long you've been coming to Mosaic, for some of you, it might not work because you're like, I'm just recently here. For some of you, you've been here for 5, 10, 15 years of your life. You've been here from the beginning. I want to tell you, Mosaic has shaped the person you are. I say this because Mosaic has shaped the person who I've become. And becoming. You are shaping me. This community is shaping me. You have shaped my kids. You've shaped my kids. You've shaped my marriage. You've shaped my relationships. You've shaped my perspective in life. My theology about who God is. Knowing some of your stories has blown my mind of how big God is. And also, has allowed me to feel things I never felt. Sorrow and burdens for people I never knew existed. And that shapes me. It shapes me. Galatians, there's a verse there that says this. It says, help carry each other's burdens. He says, if you carry someone else's burden, you help them with the burden, you basically follow the teachings of Jesus. So you don't have to ask, what would Jesus do? Carry someone else's burdens. Have you tried waking up in the middle of the night, not just worried about you and your life, worried about someone else's life? I mean, if you haven't got there, then I don't know if you've been locked into what God has for you in light of being a part of a community. If a concern hasn't messed you up, I don't think you're fully locked in. I mean, I can't help it. I was watching a movie the other day, and it was called Covenant. It was based on the Afghanistan war. And the U.S. troops in Afghanistan and the Taliban eventually taking over. And the story was going good. And the main guy, I was like, okay, this better end well, please. Emotionally, I can't take this. Okay, in some of those movies, you're so locked in, so fully engaged. You know, you're like, okay, this character better not die. It got to be good. I need this. You know what I'm saying? And the good thing was, it was a good story. But in the whole time, here's the reason. The whole time is, I was thinking of a friend that I have who's an Afghani immigrant, refugee, who was there, literally there. Just got out when the U.S. left. It was a mass deportation, refugee crisis. He was one of the only ones in his family who got out. And he's a part of my life and part of our lives. And I can't help just think, oh my gosh, I got to get his family out. So in the middle of the night, I'm like, how do we get his family out? Because Taliban has taken over now. And there's his dad's still there. His sister's still there. And I think of myself. I know that mom, I got out after the Gulf War. It's carrying someone else. It's having space to carry someone else's burdens. Reason why I'm bringing all this up, friends, is this. Is that we have to, at some point, decide, are we going to fully lock into the relationships, the careers, to our marriages, the things that are most important? Or are we just going to just quit when it gets too complicated and too hard and too messy? And now everybody else or someone else's problems is taking up space in your life and in your heart. But Jesus says, hey, you want to fulfill my law? You want to fulfill what I do? You want to do what I do? Carry each other's burdens. Fully lock into the relationships you have. Quit pretending to do church. Be the church. Just be the church. Be the church. And that's what a life fully fulfilled looks like. And that's why, friends, that's why we do this Christmas offering. Some of you guys, I think most of you guys know about this. This Christmas offering that we're going to be doing this month, we're going to be talking about it. But it's this year, we're going to raise $25,000. We've been doing this for, I don't know how many years now, 10 years or so. Okay, every December we raise money. And here's what we do. We want to carry someone else's burdens. This money doesn't go to us. This money goes to nonprofits that we partner with and projects that they want to do. It goes to them. Every year we do this as a practice. We just go, hey, we have our own bills. We have our own thing. We have our own thing. We want to raise money for this. We want to end the year in black, blah, blah, blah. But we make it a practice every December to do a Christmas offering to provide, in one sense, Christmas for someone else. And so that's why we're going to be talking about it. It's $25,000. I think if everybody gave $100, we could cover it. But this is just one of the things. So let me ask you, what is God saying to you? Is he saying, hey, lock in. Lock in now. Don't quit. Lock in. Double down. It's hard. It's about to get harder. Lock in. You think it's bad right now? No. I'm leaving. I'll be in heaven watching you guys. Have fun. It's going to happen. Let's lock in. Lock in. So let me do this. Let me pray for us. Because I don't know what your situation is. It might have nothing to do with church. It might have something to do with your business, your marriage, your relationships, extended relationships. Thanksgiving is coming. It's happening. You're going to see them. What are you going to do? So let me pray for us. Why don't you just stay seated for a second. Lord God, thank you for this conversation. God, I just pray that before we respond, before we get up and light the candle and go to the cross or receive communion, right now, I just want us to give you the time, the space to speak. Speak. So God, we ask questions like, God, what are you saying to me? What are you saying to me? What do you want me to do? I feel like quitting. I don't think it's going to go anywhere. I don't think things are going to change. God, I know how I feel, and I know you know how I feel. But what are you saying? God, I don't want to live my life pretending. pretending everything is okay, pretending I'm happy, pretending I'm fulfilled. I don't want to live my life pretending, God, living a life that's honestly half-hearted. I'm not living life fully with my whole heart. So God, I pray for my friends. Would you speak to us as we respond in this song? Speak to us, God. In Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening to this message from Mosaic Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. For more audio and video content, visit us at mosaicchurch.tv.